Hello and welcome to Unfrozen. I am Dan Safarik.
And I'm Greg Lindsay, and welcome to our Spotify Wrapped episode. Yes, it's the end of the year. Our posting schedule has been a little light in 2024, but we are still heartened at how many of you listen and love us. Like, literally 11 people have us as your top podcast. Thank you, the lucky 11. We love you. But yeah, Dan, what do we talk about in 2024? Let's do a quick recap of the year that has been.
Okay, here's our Wrapped. I'm going back to the start again.
I would say you will find, listeners, no Lana Del Rey, no Chapel Roan, no, what do the kids listen to these days? I literally subscribe to professional trend hunting newsletters for this. Let's see, the top songs listened to by Gen Z in the US, for those of you who are listening to this and want to have that overlap between architecture and pop music, Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar, number one song by Gen Z in the US, but not even in the top 10 globally, which I think is really interesting in that regard, but I digress.
That's because other people are not like us Americans. I mean, well, I'm the American at this point. You're the Canadian.
There you go. Well, it will not surprise anyone that we are also big in America. But Dan, let's do this. Walk us through.
All right. Here we go. So, by the way, Spotify has changed their jam. They are now Spotify for creators because we're now probably looking at a generation of kids who have never held an iPod. Therefore, they don't know what an iPod is or podcast is.
One of the true classic, like, sort of neologism skeuomorphisms that carries over there. Like, you know, I actually do have my remaining almost pristine iPod that I gave to my kids, and they are completely flummoxed by it in terms of the, what do you mean it doesn't have Wi-Fi?
But was that the one that we took to who were the twin brothers who DJed in New York?
That was Andrew. They were not, in fact, twins. Again, listeners, you're too old for this, but back in 2002, I kid you not, there were a sort of Gilbert and George pair of performance artists who are partners in life and in love named Andrew, who dressed identically and tried to look identically, although there was, I think, a 6-inch height difference at least. But in any case, they had iPod DJing at APT back in the day and plugged into decks, and the novelty of having infinite playlists then that you could then invite people up to. It was a more innocent time, to say the least there, but yes, that's where podcasting came from this. And also, Dan, I wrote a piece, a trolling piece, I think in 2005, that podcasting would never amount to much of anything. So maybe more the most highly trafficked hate read I've ever gotten.
Oh, we have got to post that. We have got to post that.
We'll find that from somewhere.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I don't have a massive deal from Spotify myself. They have not bought the Greg Lindsay Podcast Network for $300 million, unlike The Ringer. But there we are. Goals for Unfrozen in 2025. Take us through, Dan. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. You took it to a whole new level this year. And, you know, as is our want, we like to narrate visuals instead of showing them. I would say they went big on the motion graphics and the sort of wipe effect, which is pretty similar to how they've gone before with this sort of Nintendo Memphis 8-bit effect.
Spotify tells us that 67% of you also like video, but we're still never going to show you video. So you'll just have to listen to
our description. Not our faces.
Yeah, no.
You gained 17% listeners. So we had 17% more listeners this year than last, and we gave 35% followers. So I wonder if the followers, are those the people who are, like, clicking on stuff but not actually playing?
I don't know. Keep going. We have a theory here about all the new listeners for this who may never listen to this again, but we appreciate you coming by. But keep going, Dan.
We do. Give it up for your new fans. Here they come. 87% of your current listeners were discovered you this year.
Which is amazing, the idea that we have a completely brand new audience. But again, we think we know why. And drum roll, please.
Your fans have a clear favorite. Your top episode was Show Me the Bodies, which was our interview with Peter Apps, the British journalist, about the Grenfell Tower disaster. Definitely the most topical and serious episode that we've ever done. But we did it in 2023. Nevertheless, it was streamed 923% more than our average episode.
So much like, you know, Ed Sheeran being the number one song, you know, in America for 10 years running, it seems at this point, it appears that Show Me the Bodies will be our most popular episode forever. And thank you, again, if you came for that episode this year and are still listening to us, thank you, because it is evident to us that, yeah, the, of course, ongoing repercussions of the Grenfell disaster and the reckoning that is still happening in Britain in terms of what it means for cladding at all those buildings is a unique audience that comes to listen to him to discuss that. And so we're still grateful to have had him on and to have dealt with such a weighty subject, a true example of life or death in architecture. But yes, we should just basically rebrand to the Show Me the Bodies podcast at this point. Somewhat more seriously, this is a good resolution for us to bring on more topical guests, really try to deal with news more aggressively back in 2025. We do love everybody who comes on here and the whole wide gamut of architecture, but it's true. There's a lot of pressing issues and they need a lot more airing. So we're grateful to have been a venue for that.
Have you ever wondered who your audience is?
We are right now, Dan. Who is it?
Let's bring it down. Okay, by age, our biggest demographic is 35 to 44. I guess that's the millennials.
Shocking. I would say I'm that older Xer. By the way, Dan, 45 to 54 is the age bracket that that voted most heavily for Donald Trump as president. So
that's only 20% of our listenership, though.
Yes, I just bring it up that that's our age bracket now. So, but here we are. But yes, but you can put it this way that that over half of our listeners are washed above 35-year-olds. But you can also look at it this way too, that we're big with the kids.
Yeah.
What's the next stat?
The category that grew the most was the 18 to 24 category by 71%.
The kids are all right, man. Needless to say, thanks for coming.
Where in the world have you been? Well, according to the Spotify for Creators, in 2024, your show, Travel the Globe, you were streamed in 21 countries. United States was your top country. I can actually get the statistics of all the other countries, and I'll put them in the show notes. But 21's not bad. Your fans have great taste, obviously. Other than your show, they also loved, here we go, Knowledge Fight was number one with Dan Jordan. It's Over for Humanity is their tagline. Behind the Bastards is number two. Fall of Civilizations is number three. Yeah, it's the end times, because number four is, of course, the Joe Rogan Experience, presented by Call of Duty Black Ops 6. And number five is Stuff You Should Know.
I did not expect our listeners to be this doomery, but welcome doomers. We're not here for the fall of civilizations. We're here to build. It's time to build, baby. That's what I thought we were about, but yes, you guys do you.
Well, you know, our first episode, Greg, it was called Death in Venice. So we did sort of establish a pattern there. And then, we had Show Me the Bodies, of course, was the most visited. And then, you know, Horror and Architecture was one of the highlights of this year's cast. So, you know, I would say that we have occasionally veered doomy.
That's true. I would say, given one of our last guests was Madeline Ashby, yes, we can get doomery sometimes as well, too. But all right. I stand corrected. But musical tastes, like, now this is always fun. Like, you know, what does your unfrozen listenership say about you? What does it say, Dan?
Okay, so number one category of music of people who also listen to our podcast is pop, which is a pretty broad category. But I would say that there's very little poptimism emanating from either of us, probably me even less than Greg. And I have, you know, skillfully, assiduously tried to choose, you know, classic rock and new wave and, you know, contemporary rock soundtracks to augment all of my commentary on this podcast. And, you know, it was all for naught, because number two category is Broadway.
Being a rockist will get you nowhere, Dan. And number two, Jane Jacobs the Musical. I think we have a guest in mind of who we need to have on. So let's get some show tunes.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. And number three is classical. Maybe because people want to listen to things that are calming and they find our endless parade of doom calming. I don't know. Audiobook genres. I'm proud to say I don't think I've ever listened to an audiobook, but for those to whom this is relevant, number one category is political science, not naming any titles. Number two is fiction and literature, and number three is arts and entertainment. And they didn't just listen. 64% of your audience watched video on Spotify this year.
Just to reiterate, no video, no unfrozen video.
Shout out to your biggest fans for keeping you at the top of your game. All right, here we go. You're a top 10 show for 67 fans.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. You're a top 5 show for 38 fans.
Thank you even more. Love you even more.
38's great. You're the number one show. For 11 fans. Yeah, double on the ones. Palindrome.
Yeah, I would say we were joking beforehand that that only this is consisting of our family. But considering I've never told my family about this podcast, I appreciate you, you lucky 11. I owe you a drink. So make yourselves known if we are your number one podcast and can send proof. So
you are our virtual slash real family.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go. All right. Well, now that we got the Spotify out of the way, Dan, what were your favorite episodes of 2024? Let's discuss what we did right this past year and what we need to do better at in 2025.
Indeed. Well, I think first, I guess I would say that we need to make more episodes, period.
Yes.
Because although we are growing our audience impressively from a percentage standpoint, from a raw numbers standpoint, I don't think we can make that claim. And I think the more you get out there, the more people will listen.
We're a quality over quantity people, but we owe it to you. We, you know, there was a lot going on in 2024, to say the least here. And I'm wrapping up months of nonstop travel. I am finishing up, you listeners who have listened to me blather on about the Metaverse Metropolis for 2 years. That report is finally finished and about to be published. It's only 160 pages. So we got that. But we will be back with more episodes in 2025. Promise.
Promise.
But all right. But Dan, what were your favorites? Like, what stands out for you in 2024?
I already made some allusions to it because it was a personal favorite. I did love the horror and architecture.
Horror and architecture was a good one. Yep.
We talked to the author Joseph Komaroff, who is a professor in Singapore, and had written this delightful book about all these kinds of grotesque memes that show up in architecture and throughout architecture criticism. And unexpectedly, you know, we found ourselves talking about things like Army of Darkness and other cultural artifacts that I never expected to cross streams with the elevated discourse that we try to have about architecture and urbanism here. So that was a fun ride.
I was just in my head that pairs a bit with the discussion of Vertigo as well. We had those are like the two really meta episodes there, where it was about dimensions of architecture that you don't really think about as much. But
super meta.
Those were interesting standouts to me. Well, for me, it was the year of AI, like it was for everybody else. The ones that stood out for me, I loved having at the beginning of the year Rob Ottani from Thornton Tomasetti to talk about Mike DeLashmit 2.0, their instance of building a digital twin of their retiring now deceased steel expert. It's a story that I still tell regularly to people, and it still blows their mind that they built a version of Mike. And I've had a chance to talk to several architecture firms this year, the leadership of Gensler, Dialogue, which is a Canadian-American firm, and also talked to 900 employees of Smith Group about this. And yeah, it's something that stands out here about how generative AI in particular will change the profession. So having Rob on, and then also having HED's Peter Devereaux to talk about the Innovation Design Consortium, and yeah, his warning that the whole business model of architecture is about to blow up, I think is a really trenchant one. And I was glad to meet Peter, by the way, in person at the Cornell Tech Urban Tech Summit just a week or so ago. 2 weeks ago. So that was there. And then, of course, speaking of also people I met in real life, I got to hang out with Madeline Ashby right after Thanksgiving, having her on to talk about glass houses. Madeline is like one of the best in the business when it comes to science fiction. So talking about sci-fi and architecture and smart cities and smart homes and the horrors that lurk within them, too, was great, too. So those are my favorites.
You know, and actually, you definitely share that view with the general public. I did go and look and see, even though the most popular episode in 24 was actually an episode that we did in 23, which was Show Me the Bodies, the highest streamed article that posted in 24 was Domo Arigato Mike 2.0, which was about Mr. Ottani and his AI bot.
Yeah. There you go. It's the AI's world. We're just living it here. You know, Spotify's doing the same. We're all just training data, even listening to this right now. We're just training. So we'll go from there. But yeah, but listeners, I mean, you know, we've got the show notes. If you want to write into us about what you want to hear more of in 2025, and also to thank all the amazing publicists that we work with in 2024. It's really fun that, you know, once again, when Dan and I started this, we just thought we'd be blathering on a semi-regular basis. But instead, we've become legitimate hosts with legitimate guests. And we could not do that without all the particularly great authors who come on here who want to talk about their books. And we love having people on to talk about the work they've invested so much time and care into. So we're happy to be a venue for that.
Indeed. We mean that with all sincerity. And as we head into 25, I know we'll be broadcasting at some point, or at least post-podcasting from La Biennale, in Venice. We have a sick pad set up for one thing.
Yes, we will be there. We'll be back there in May for Intelligence, Carlo Rotti's Biennale. So it'll be interesting. I'm presuming this is going to be the Smart City Biennale. So we'll be talking a lot about tech and architecture there. Dan, what do you think? What else do you think jumps out for you for 2025? Obviously, the Trump administration 2.0 is going to be a theme for sure. In the last decade, there was a lot of discussions about would architecture firms help build the wall. I feel like there's a lot fewer qualms about this time around, about tech firms and the military, et cetera, there. I think it'll be interesting to see about, you know, who wants to sign up for this administration and what does it mean, particularly given the president's promises to deport potentially tens of millions of Americans that will take architecture. Lots of discussions about tents and camps and sites. So I'm sure we'll discuss the infrastructures of what that means for the Trump administration. Climate change, I'm sure, will be a continuing one. Love people out there. We had a great episode on salty urbanism and about really what can we do with South Florida there. That was a great one with, I think, a colleague once removed from one of your former firms, Dan.
Yes, Jeffrey Huber, Salty Urbanism.
Yeah, and so I'm sure we'll have more climate change in the podcast as well. And then I think more technology. It'll be interesting to see how AI continues to play out there as the sums get ever bigger. If there's somebody out here listening to this who has a particularly interesting take on data centers, I would love to have you on. We had Marina Otero back a couple seasons ago, who was doing her fellowship, I think, with the CCA on this. No, sorry, the Harvard, the Wheelwright Fellowship for GSD. And she was looking into sustainable data centers. This has only become more trenchant with the trillions, literally trillions of dollars of CapEx expected to build out this stuff for AI. So what does that actually mean for the urban landscape? I think is an under-discussed topic. But all right, Dan, now that I've like grabbed all the intellectual ideas, what else do you want to talk about in 2025?
No, indeed it is. There is actually a carry through into some of my my own research for my day job. We are currently working on the great question of how we repurpose high-rise office buildings into residential or mixed-use buildings. And one of the uses that has been talked about in that mix, I'd say through the second half of 24, but had really not been talked about before, is data centers. Because if you can gain efficiencies with how you structure the floor plates and put in fewer elevators, but you still have the shafts, then you have space for mechanical ducting and perhaps even venting, heating elements that are built around the immense heat that is thrown off by all that Bitcoin calculation that's going on.
Well, that'll be interesting. Well, again, for listeners of this, this makes me, I've made this joke as well that, yeah, instead of doing, you know, office to residential, it'll be office to data center. So One Wilshire obviously stands out, a bit of a sui generis building there in LA that is a giant skyscraper of switching equipment. Will we see more like that? And the other one that stands out, I forget its exact name, but it's the Verizon building down by the Brooklyn Bridge in Manhattan that was originally designed for giant analog telephone switches with huge reinforced concrete floor plates. That was never even utilized because the technology changed. Perhaps they should have waited a little bit longer and the technology would have changed again, but I think they've turned that into mixed use. So it'll be interesting. That along with the neutron bomb building, as we call it, in downtown Manhattan, that was also designed for switching equipment and NSA listening posts. It'll be interesting to see. Will there be a vertical architecture of data centers, Dan? That is an interesting research project for you professionally and personally, I think.
Indeed. And then, you know, while we're talking about qualmlessness, you know, with discussions of the border wall construction or not, of course, we're still looking at another very long, narrow entity across a desert that seems to be shrinking day by day and is shedding a lot of personnel, as well as apparently turning up quite a few corpses of unannounced and undeclared personnel.
Well, I think I'm pretty sure listeners can guess what Dan's alluding to, but yes, to spell it out more explicitly, obviously the line in Neom. Neom is opening. They opened Sindala Island, which, you know, allegedly has a little bit more liberal milieu in terms of norms and affordances there. But yeah, the line itself, the double skyscraper, the length has gotten shorter, true. And ITV broadcast a blockbuster documentary where they, according to their calculations, there's 21,000 workers dead on the Saudi giga projects and 100,000 missing, according to their various embassies in South Asia. So by missing, I assume they mean their passports have been taken and no one's heard from them kind of thing. But the thing that also jumps out, and why we'll be paying attention to this, is number one, I am sure that just like NEOM has had a big presence in Davos, and it's also at the Biennale 2 years ago, I'm sure we'll be checking in with them at the Biennale in 2025. And also, despite that, I read reports that an estimate of like 1/5 of global steel production is headed towards NEOM. Like this is a project of Death Starian proportions when it comes to thinking about the resources needed to assemble it. So that project will go on, and hopefully we'll have some more guests on to talk about it for sure.
Indeed. May the Force be with us.
Yes, May the 4th. We'll be at the Biennale on the 7th, but May the 4th be with us when we're there. So,
very much looking forward to 25 with you, Greg. I think we've charted some paths here, and I'm ready to start doubling down.
Likewise. Well, listeners, we're going to take a holiday break for the end of 2024 here. This will be our last episode for this year. And yeah, hopefully emerge refreshed and recharged early in the new year and come out with some brand new episodes. So yeah, send us your ideas, send us your takes, send us your books, and yeah, hopefully you'll hear from us soon.